Tony Urban Radio Show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Well, it usually is Michael Rivero, but this is Ryan Dawson, a writer for WhatReallyHappened.com. I am subbing for him today, as well as Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, however it's already Wednesday in Japan, 4 in the morning, rocking the WhatReallyHappened.com show. My next guest is going to be Scott Horton. He'll be here in a little bit. We have a little four-minute break. Scott Horton is from Anti-War Radio and also the Scott Horton Show. I've listened to, I don't know, thousands of his shows, very educational, very informative person on all matters of things anti-war, as well as the liberty movement in general, a good Ron Paul, a Ron Paul-esque type philosophy, Austrian economics, and anti-status. So we'll be talking to him later. I did want to touch a segment or so on some recent events. We're going to be talking about LIBOR, and also Obamacare. If you really want a good take on the Obamacare, is it a tax, is it not a tax, is it unconstitutional or not, check out Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff was Ron Paul's economic advisor back in 2008. He has the Peter Schiff Show as well. Peter Schiff you can find on YouTube, and he gives a great breakdown. I'll give a synopsis of it, but it'd be better from the horse's mouth, I think, if you want to check it out through him. And he explains the whole thing of whether or not it's a tax and why, and kind of how it doesn't matter. To me, it's just ridiculous. Obamacare is as asinine as saying to homeless people to go buy a house. You know, people don't have health insurance. The majority of people who don't have health insurance don't have it because they can't afford it, flat out. And they can't afford it because the prices are so high, and the prices are so high because we don't have a free market for health insurance. You can't cross state lines. We don't have a free market for generics for drugs, for example, or buying them from Canada or wherever else. You have to buy your insurance and buy your drugs from these regional monopolies, and that jacks the price up. It jacks the price up on the other end for the hospital side of the things as well, because they also have to buy insurance through the same manner. So you're getting it from both ends. And the cost, just to give you an example, I live in Japan. I have universal health care. Japan's health care system is modeled after the system in the U.S. that our congressmen have. Our congressmen have a separate system. Why the nation at large can't have that, you know why, actually, but that's not going to happen. But in Japan, if you want an MRI, it's going to cost you about $80, $70. That's the total cost of it with insurance. Even if you had no insurance, it would cost you about $200 or $300. That's it. And the yen is stronger than the dollar, by the way. In America, you're going to be shelling out thousands, even if you do have health insurance. If you want a sonogram, you're looking at close to $1,000. In Japan, it's free. But if you did have to pay for it, it's about $29. It's ridiculous. Well, I've got Scott Horton on the line. Scott, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I was just filling in time ripping on Obamacare. Good to talk to you, man. It's kind of awkward for me because I always hear you interviewing everyone else, and now the table's turned around, so it feels a little weird. So I'm so used to your voice. Yeah, you're getting interviewed. Well, you should be interviewed. I mean, you're a political encyclopedia, too. I mean, you've had so many great guests over the years. How long have you been doing radio and activism?
I started on Free Radio Austin at the very end of 1998.
Wow.
So that's, what, 13 years, something like that?
Man. Yeah, I've only been at it maybe 10 years or so, but I've always listened to
only
your show.
Yeah,
only a decade. Well, I was a little kid before that. Yeah, I'm not that old. But I just always been active. It's just pre-internet. There was no point. But, Scott, there's a break, so we'll start this over right after the first commercial.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. a complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Wall Street wizards on the lam, from a mental institution, claim private retirement funds, yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, you'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the piper when all the money's gone? Replace them all, start over while we all still can.
And we're back. This is What Really Happened show. Mike Rivero is the normal host. This is Ryan Dawson, guest hosting for him. I'll be here until Friday the 13th. I'm talking with Scott Horton of Anti-War Radio, or formerly of Anti-War Radio, and also the Scott Horton Show. I guess we should explain that ordeal now. The first thing I always do when I get on the internet after I do Anti-Neocons and the What Really Happened is I go over to antiwar.com, and I always see what Scott Horton has on radio, and I listen to those archives there, and then I usually read Raimondo, Didson, Grant. But last week, I guess maybe 2 weeks ago, I saw a note on Raimondo's thing saying that Scott Horton was going to be let go, that they were no longer archiving the shows there. Now, the show's still the same show it always was. You can still see it on the ScottHortonShow.com, but it's no longer on Anti-War Radio. And that wasn't any ill will between Anti-War.com and Scott Horton. It wasn't anything like that. It had something to do with a donor. Scott, maybe you can explain it better, what the story is there.
Well, we lost, antiwar.com lost its single biggest contributor. And it was nothing political. It was just a guy who had his, pile of money that he gave to libertarian and, I guess, anti-war conservative causes. And he just ran out of money. And so, his portion of antiwar.com's budget was more than they paid for me and my Social Security and my health insurance and whatever combined. It was, more than the entire cost of anti-war radio, all the calls to Pepe Escobar in Bangkok and all of that stuff. His portion of the budget was even more than all of it. So they really just had no choice but to downsize. I mean, they had to give me enough notice, you know, so that
right.
Because there's no way to count on making the goal the next quarter without somebody like that. Because the small donations are great, and the smaller the donation, the more small donations, the more independent the nonprofit, of course, no matter what, just incentive-wise.
Right.
But without somebody who's willing to pay $20,000 a quarter, then, you know. But it wasn't anything political. It wasn't any hard feelings whatsoever between anybody or anything like that. I was just... I needed to be laid off, so I was. So there it is.
So the sad thing is that means there are probably more cuts since it was beyond the cost of your show and archiving your show and all those calls. I just got done talking to Pepe in Hong Kong, but I did it the freeway through Skype. It cost nothing, but can't always do that. He's not always near a computer or anything either, and you know that's how it is. But it seems there'd be more cuts, and that's the really sad thing is the truth doesn't pay. I mean, antiwar.com. And I'm on another site, and I do anti-neocon. I don't care. I don't get into that pecking order mess. It's one of the best sites for that type of information, and they're always relying on donors to pitch in, where these neocon sites like Kagan and Crystal and company, they get sponsorships from Lockheed Martin and the MIC who are getting contracts from the government, so it's an endless bank which can also digitalize or print money anyway. So it's really crucial. And I hate begging for money, and I hate asking people to support people, but that's what we got right now. So you have to support antiwar.com and support Scott Horton, because that was the best antiwar radio show. I like Charles Goyette as well, but that was the best one out there, and we got to keep the show afloat, and it will go. This isn't baloney. Things can fall if we don't have the financing. You won't be able to hear people like Scott Horton anymore and all his great guests. And you've got a go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, that's right. Either I'm going to sink or swim. I've actually got a little complacent working for antiwar.com. They never paid me very well at all, but I never needed a lot of money to live or anything like that either. So everything was just fine. But really, I should have been working a lot harder on getting this show out there in the first place. So now it's just a matter of facing the market test. You know, I've been working for this nonprofit this whole time. Now I'll see whether I can make a real business out of it or not, you know. I think it'll probably work.
I think so. I think you've got a listener base, and we'll get it going. Well, let's talk about some anti-war issues, and we'll come back around to financing your show and getting the pimping that out and everything. I remember listening to one of your shows. It was years ago. I think it was with Ray McGovern. I don't remember who you were interviewing, but you were talking about Iran and Syria, and you said – I think it was in 2007 when all the hype with Iran was going, and you said, I don't think so. It just seems like Syria's next on the table. It's just more doable. And, of course, down the road, you're absolutely right. There's a massive not-so-free Syrian army in Syria with mercenaries from Qatar and a NATO base in Turkey, which is helping the so-called rebels. And they're calling for a regime change in Syria, right down Wesley Clark's list. Libya and then Syria, so that's predictive power. Scott Horton always has. I don't want to talk about third person, but I'm talking to the audience too. This great radar for knowing the truth and seeing through all the hype and all the propaganda, and even when everyone seems to be jumping one direction, he says, I don't know. And you've always called it straight. That's why I really appreciate your show on Syria. And I want to get your take on Syria now and see if you can still uphold your track record here. But on the violence in Syria, where do you see this going, or who do you see as the main players? Is it the Israelis, the Turks, the Russians, Iran? What are the major parties here? Like your two cents on the matter?
Well, to be real fair, I think the major players are the regime and the working and lower class Sunni Arab population of the country, right? And then on the other side is you know, the state side is all the different religious and ethnic minorities and the well-to-do and statist, you know, intertwined Sunnis, the merchant class, as Pepe Escobar explained to me about a year and a half ago, I guess, that they still support the regime, the rich Sunnis. And if they change their mind about that, that'll be the end of the regime. But if they don't, it pretty much is certain that it will stay. And so, you know, obviously you have every other power in the world is trying, it seems like, doesn't it, is trying to intervene there. And I just, you know, honestly, just think back to 2006. Remember when Israel invaded Lebanon in an attempt to crush Hezbollah, which did not work out? I thought there was a real chance then that the war could spread to Syria quickly, whether the Syrians jumped in on Hezbollah's side or whether Israel deliberately provoked an escalation into Syria, and that that would call the Americans in, that Bush would have no choice kind of a thing. Here, apparently, I don't know exactly what happened, but apparently back then, little did we know, we were relying on Bush's, George Bush Jr.'s, calm, patient wisdom, and or at least his willingness to accept the lesson that you can't just listen to whatever Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz tell you is going to work out just fine. Because it was his name on the line, you know?
I think it kind of did start in
Syria. Bush didn't do it. In 8 years, he didn't do Syria. And now here's Barack Obama doing Syria. And it's madness. It's going to be, it's like the Afghanistan War of the 1980s, right? And I'm not original in saying this, but it's like bringing the Afghanistan War of the 1980s, where we're on the side of the Sunni rebel jihadists, and bringing it all the way over to the Levant, bringing it 1,000 miles west, right? It's ridiculous. It's a bad idea. As Hillary Clinton said, well, who all are we supporting there? Well, not a bunch of good guys.
The one thing worse than a dictator is a sectarian violence. Now, there was the Rafiq Hariri assassination in Lebanon, which was initially blamed on the Syrians, which was used as a pretext to remove their troops from Lebanon, right, which opened the door for Israel, who thought after that was out, and because they knew the Lebanese military wasn't going to lift a finger, that they could take Hezbollah one-on-one, and of course they were wrong. It's a new type of warfare, actually. What, that's kind of complicated, but Hezbollah gave him a spanking, so it didn't work even without that. So there was a little bit of politicking with Syria, but you're right. The ironic thing, but I can't even say it, Bush's calm wisdom not to start another quagmire in Syria, which is unbelievable in and of itself.
But I want to mention that. Compare the idiocy of Barack Obama, who's going to let Hillary Clinton and I don't know who else, Benjamin Netanyahu, tell him that this is what he's got to do. And, you know, for years, and like you say, we have been talking about this for years on end, just because it's been that long that we've been talking about it. And the obvious question is, okay, so if the Baathists in Syria fall, then who's going to replace them? And how is that actually going to be to anyone's liking? I mean, from the point of view of the Likudniks in Tel Aviv,
it's against their own
interest.
Why
wouldn't they prefer Bashar al-Assad? He hasn't tried to get the Golan Heights back and the Sheba Farms and all that. He leaves well enough alone with all of that. He might as well be an ally of theirs. You know,
well, the flaw there is assuming we're dealing with rational players.
Yeah, well, I don't mean to assume that. I'm sorry. I just think,
you're talking about
Netanyahu is not, he's mean, but he's not supposed to be that stupid. I don't know. Maybe he is.
I don't know if it's stupidity. It's like it's a pathological thing. It's something psychological. Like these, it's hard to explain. It's just like, why does a really intelligent person do something dumb? Like, why do really smart people smoke cigarettes? So they know it's not good, but they don't care. I mean, it just happens. And he's got
good point.
That was like a sad example off the top of my head, but I know it's
No, that's a good one. And by the way, to answer your question directly, Phil Giraldi reported at antiwar.com on December the 7th or 8th last year that there are two new findings signed by the president authorizing increased covert action in Syria and in Iran. And it is reportedly, even according to the Washington Post and the New York Times now, the CIA in Turkey coordinating the Saudis, the Qataris, the Free Syrian Army, and this entire, it's not an entirely fake revolution, but the amount of success it's had is
Scott,
an entire
we got a break. I'll pick up artificial that. We have a caller on the line too. Sorry, I'll get you after the commercial.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
Blind eyes they will not see. They'll jail themselves and call the bars Homeland Security.
We are back on the What Really Happened show. This is Ryan Dawson filling in for Mike Rivera. The number to call is 800-313-9443. My apologies to George in Texas. Don in Ohio, you are on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether or not anybody has brought up about Bush buying like 900,000 acres down there in Paraguay that sits above a one of the largest aquifers down there, whether they might have a hand in this little coup.
Which Bush?
George Jr., I believe, bought it.
I didn't know about that, but I'll look into that. I mean, Monsanto and a lot of these big ag people are involved in that. And in the course of the Bushes, there's so many of them. They're always involved in that. It sounds plausible, but I actually don't know about that. So,
and I guess,
good question.
I guess, look it up. I guess his neighbor is Sun Myung Moon that, you know, has that religious cult thing.
I think all religions are a cult, but yeah, I got you.
Okay. Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, that I'll look into that afterward. I mean, if you know, and I'll bring it up with Pepe again. Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be fun to be neighbors of Sun Myung Moon, huh?
I
get the early
am
edition of the Washington Times.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm glad I'm out here. Yeah, so, my neighbors are all peaceful, loving Japanese people. So we got a rice farm right in front of our place. And I actually followed Jim Rogers' advice, moved to Asia, and started farming.
There you go.
We're having Jim Rogers on next week to talk about the LIBOR scandal. It's unbelievable. There's so many things. I'm starting to join you in your pessimism, unfortunately, of all the things wrong with the world today. But that's how it is. We talked about Paraguay in the first segment. That's what the caller was talking about in the coup there. Yeah, with Lugo and Blas and that whole the land ruling elite. You can listen to it later. What were we talking about before? Syria. Yeah, so you were continuing on. You got cut off abruptly at the break there. We were talking about the irrationality of Netanyahu and all the different factions involved in Syria.
Sorry about that. I can't hear the bumper music playing from here, so I didn't realize.
Right, yeah, I'll just interrupt you like suddenly and let you know.
Go ahead, because I do go on.
Hey, it's fine with me. You know, I love listening to your show, so you may continue with what you wanted to say there.
Well, you had originally asked me exactly, you know, who's doing what out there, and I wanted to give credit to the people who are actually rising up trying to overthrow their dictatorship. It's just they're stuck in the sorry position of living in a crappy little country where their uprising against their local police state actually is not the story. Even when that is the story, we make it about us. We're the empire, and all this land are belong to us. And so if they're going to have a revolution, it's going to be our revolution. And we're going to see what we can do to make sure who comes to power next and that they're going to do everything our way. And so, you know, it's a really sad state of affairs, actually, if you think about it. You know, the reputation that we have of co-opting everything that even could have been good, maybe. I mean, who says that if the regime falls that the Sunni Arabs are going to necessarily wipe out everybody who's ever supported the dictatorship before or whatever? We don't know
no,
all
I
that.
Have a problem
if Syria
with
was
now,
in a vacuum, if Syria was its own little planet where this was going on, then, you know, from my point of view, at least, it's I don't care who wins, but it might as well take the common narrative that it's the little guy versus the state. Why not? The problem is that they're serving the interests of the United States and of Turkey and of Israel and of Qatar and Saudi Arabia, as you mentioned.
Well, the 13 political parties, you know, it's always leave a minority in charge kind of thing. And what they have under Assad is basically a majority by compounding a bunch of minorities together against the Sunni majority. So, like, better that than to have the majority in charge, because then all those different minorities wouldn't have their interests met. You know, and I'm not a fan of Assad, but I'm not, and neither was I a fan of Saddam Hussein either, but I'm not going to support war. And we can all tell the Free Syrian Army in here with the butchering and their own massacres, you can't terrorize your way out of terrorism. You can't claim that your motivations are to overthrow the oppression of a government when what you're doing is out there slitting throats of Alawites and all your enemies. It's the same thing. And the U.S. is so hypocritical because we don't have a problem with in Bahrain if it happens. We don't have a problem with the dictators in Uzbekistan boiling people alive, freezing people to death. We don't have problems in Yemen where an unelected dictator – well, okay, Hadi was elected, but he's the only name on the ballot. That's a dictatorship completely. And we say, oh, we're supporting democracy and fighting Al-Qaeda. Right. Like the civil war in Yemen had nothing to do with it or the secession movement since 2007. All those conflicts, all that history has nothing to do with it. It's just G.I. Joe, we're fighting Al-Qaeda, the bad guys, and supporting the government in Yemen. It's ridiculous. It's a complete opposite scenario from Syria. We support Shiites in one area, Sunnis in the other. It has nothing to do with helping people or spreading democracy. I mean, these names are ridiculous. The Free Syrian Army. It was like Operation Iraqi Liberation. Do you remember that? Before it was Operation Iraqi Freedom, like for the first week or so, it was the acronym was OIL, Operation Iraqi Liberation. So they had to change it. But, oh, here's the bumper music. Got a break. And then we'll have a long segment, so I'll let you continue. Sorry, I talk too much sometimes. I'll pick it up after the commercial.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Global Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, MEG, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and stick upon a computer alone. MacDonald had a farm, then he opened a burger joint. We've drowned in fat ever since.
And we're back on the WhatReallyHappened.com show, or What Really Happened Radio on RBN. The number to call is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I'm talking to Scott Horton, the Scott Horton Show. We've been talking about Syria and Middle Eastern politics. You know, I'd like to ask you your opinions on the elections. You know, I'm sure you're not going to be splitting hairs between fascists. But given, let's say, if Ron Paul doesn't get the nomination, which would be worse, Obama again or Mitt Romney?
Jeez. So you're holding a proverbial gun to my head and ordering me to find a discrepancy in there somewhere, right? I get it.
You can say it doesn't matter if you want, but it's an abstract question.
Way I look at it. If it had been McCain, I think at least a 45% chance that all of humanity would have died in a nuclear war with the Russians. And that's just because of his particular personality. But say, for example, if last time around Mitt Romney had been the nominee, And then, therefore, there would have been absolutely no discrepancy or difference whatsoever between the Republican and Democratic nominee. In other words, the typical generic political cartoon Republican candidate. If you just had the generic Republican candidate, Mitt Romney, in that position, then I think the country's probably better off with them, at least in terms of foreign policy, because you keep the anti-war movement on the left energized, and they, of course, get the steam knocked right out of them as soon as a Democrat takes power. And the right wing doesn't really care about peace most of the time, even with the Democrat in power. That's the one thing they like about Obama is all the people he kills, or they criticize him for not killing enough, right? So the anti-war movement gets really hurt with a Democrat in power. And then also a Republican president at least has the opportunity, as ridiculous as this sounds, well, I guess we just talked about an example. He has the ability to do the Nixon goes to China thing, where even Mr. Tough Guy Republican has decided in this case it's time to wind this war down. Then he can't really be criticized too bad about it because he's a Republican. Whereas a Democrat can never end a war. He can only expand it, you know. Otherwise, he looks like too much of a wimp. So just politically speaking, the anti-war movement is better off. And somebody like Romney has the ability to come forward and say, hey, look, I'm as Republican as anybody, but it's time we got to end this Afghan war. Whereas Obama can only promise to continue it to 2024.
2024, we've already been there almost 11 years. And there's really nothing else that can be accomplished there. Not that I think they even care. I don't think winning has ever been defined. And I think the perpetual war turns into perpetual profits. And that's probably the stated goal. But you can change the regime, you can change, you know, you can put a new government in Kabul or whatever, but there's really nothing to do after that. You can't just have genocide on the whole country, and nobody's going to stop fighting you with this ridiculous tactics of night raids and, you know, killing all the Pashtun and everyone else. It's just going to be an endless cycle of revenge, and that, you know, the Taliban suddenly have these miraculous prison breaks with 500 prisoners escaping. It's just an ongoing mess. And nothing good has happened about it. We've killed a bunch of people and lost a lot of money. Not a thing. But what you were saying about the left is so true. And that goes back to my smoking example thing. How do otherwise intelligent people get fall for this? I mean, Obama started bombing Pakistan his third day in office. He's got his Nobel Peace drones killing, murdering American citizens. He's done everything that they hated Bush for and multiplied it. That's on the economic scale as well as the war. And they just look the other way, or they blame the Republican Congress. I mean, the protests and things are not there. At least it's not on TV anyway. And yet, and then you have these, I call them the TUCons because it's not the real Tea Party, but they've got the reverse psychology where they supported it when Bush did it, and now they're against these things now that Obama's done it. I mean, what is wrong with people that having a D next to your name or an R next to your name can justify such massive atrocities as murdering nearly a million people? It blows my mind. But I think you may be right there that, at least with Romney as president, the left might be activated again and the anti-war movement might actually arise like they did during the Bush presidency, but that didn't seem to stop him either.
Well, and, you know, I surely ain't stumping for Romney by the slightest stretch. You know, I was just kind of thinking, you know, if we just lived through 4 years of him versus 4 years of Obama, you know, I don't know, we wouldn't have been any better off. Not really. I mean, he doesn't somebody handed him some billion-dollar corporation for a while or something, but that doesn't mean he really knows anything about economics or business or what really needs to be done. I don't know too much about it, but I hear him more often described as just a vulture capitalist rather than a real venture capitalist who grows things. Foreign policy, you look at him, you know, you just look at Mitt Romney, and you can just know that he actually doesn't know anything about foreign policy at all. Like, probably if you asked him to picture a map of the Middle East in his head, it'd be really, really vague. You know, like South Carolina pageant girl on the YouTube that everybody makes fun of. He doesn't know. All he knows is somebody told him to listen to Robert Kagan. Oh, no. So that's what you get with Romney, is a bunch of neocons in the Pentagon and the State Department.
The old neocons from the Bush regime, he's brought them back. Kagan is, other than Richard Pearl, you know how much I hate him. He's one of the top worst neocons. He was part of all that anthrax hype and every pre-war lie to get into Iraq. Robert Kagan. Well, both Kagans are bums. So are the Crystals. But that is what Romney has surrounded himself with. And yet, still might not be as bad as Obama. I mean, they're both Goldman Sachs hacks. You can't tell a dime's worth of difference between them. I guarantee if you gave a blank survey that didn't have the names on it and just went issue by issue, you know, what Indiana or torturing or more war, et cetera, whatever your issue was, bailouts, et cetera, you can't make a difference. I mean,
well, even on the stimulus spending, right? Because he was asked, you know, Ron Paul wants to cut $1 trillion from the budget. He says $1 trillion not spent by the government is $1 trillion more spent by the people to reinvigorate the economy. And Mitt Romney says, no, I disagree with that. If you cut $1 trillion from the government's budget, that would be cutting $1 trillion from the economy, he said, which makes him left of Jimmy Carter. Which makes him Barack Obama. That's what it makes him. It makes Mitt Romney Barack Obama in every way. I mean, you might think Barack Obama is some real socialist or something, but Mitt Romney completely agrees with him about monetary and fiscal policy, deficit spending and taxes and monetarism and the rest of it. It's right there. He said that would be bad for the economy to cut the government budget.
Unbelievable. I love the spin they have on cutting on future cuts, on future increases. So say you're going to increase by $12 billion. You say, okay, we're only going to increase by $10 billion. They go, that's a cut of $2 billion. No, it's not. It's an increase of $10 billion. And that's so simple. And Ron Paul has pointed that out over and over. But it took what, 20 seconds to say that? That's half the time he'd have in a debate.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He gets to say that and then start to stutter into one more sentence before they cut him off.
Yeah, he doesn't have time to unspin all the propaganda from the other hacks before he can even put his platform out there. And it's so sad.
Mr. Paul, our next question is about medicine, and so we're not going to give you a chance to answer it.
Because you're a doctor.
We'll let Herman Cain tell us what to do.
The pizza guy, yeah. That's unreal. Like, oh, I'm sorry. And, you know, they booed him, and like he's getting arenas basically full of people coming to see him, and Mitt Romney can't fill up a high school gym, and yet they're saying he's winning these popular votes. I'm not buying it. I mean, we've got this one shot at the convention coming up and the pre-convention rally, I suppose. But really after that, if Paul doesn't get it somehow and is looking pretty bleak, we are really, really going downhill regardless of who's next president, if it's not Ron Paul. If we don't implode the economy first, we'll go and launch into World War III. It's unbelievable, and I see it, and I know it's going to happen, and I'm so frustrated. This is worse than the Iraq War because we have no more money, and the real unemployment's a lot higher than they're admitting. And, of course, you know, and I know, and we see this clearly, but how do we mobilize enough people? What can we really do to prevent this?
Well, you know, at this point, I don't think you can. I think really, you know, Tom Woods had an article at LouRockwell.com called Growing the Remnant, that was Ron Paul's job, is just getting more people who understand the way things are supposed to work, i.e. liberty creates prosperity.
That's exactly
that
true.
That when the bad times really kick in, there will be enough people who know how it should be instead. So that, you know, what oftentimes happens in history, you look at a major financial crisis, usually it's the result of wasting all a country's resources on some foreign war somewhere. What happens is people turn toward more dictatorship. Remember Tommy Franks told the cigar aficionado that, oh, if we had one more attack, we would have to have a military form of government. That's just the way of thinking of people with power, right? And the only way for that to not happen in a real crisis is for enough of the masses of people to already agree and already understand that, hey, you know, that old man was right. All we really need is private property rights and free markets and extremely limited rule of law, protect people from crime at the most, that kind of thing. And all we got to do is just start acting right, bring our troops home, stop printing money, and, you know, things will be fine. That's the thing. It's a It's a pretty optimistic message. You don't have to have some giant French Revolution-style turning over of American society. Just stop doing all the wrong things you're doing.
Just quit killing people.
Yeah, locking up innocent people and not even giving them a real chance to defend themselves. Bailing out billionaires with poor people's money and waging war and slaughtering Arabs like it's just another day at the park or something like that. How about we just knock off these things? Maybe we'll be okay. You know?
Stop spending nearly half a billion dollars on one airplane that doesn't work.
Yeah, and like you said, though, thousands and thousands of people are showing up to these Ron Paul rallies, and especially the kids. And it's so important that a lot of college kids who are very idealistic have a place to go other than socialism, right? Because they know that they don't like the current system the way it is. And so you could especially expect after a lot of years of Republicans in power that they would just come to identify all the corruption with conservatism and miss the boat. But here Ron Paul is showing them that really libertarianism is the antidote to the left and the right, to the liberals and the conservatives and both political parties, that we're the ones calling the emperor wears no clothes on any of these issues, the welfare state, the regulatory state, and God, most especially our foreign policy, which
really
course,
the welfare
you know, the
state, the foreign policy is
humanitarianism and continue right along.
Right. Humanitarian wars. What an oxymoron. And the biggest welfare queens is the military industrial complex. I mean, we're literally paying for junk that doesn't work and designing things for the military, which I believe they have no intention of ever actually using in combat, like the Bradley fighting vehicle, etc. It just has every bell and whistle imaginable tacked onto it for the sake of involving as many industries as possible because, hey, the government's footing the bill, which means we're footing the bill, so who cares if it works? How much can we make it cost? That's what we're going to charge. And that's the largest welfare because they get no big contracts. They get these – we're talking about tens of billions of dollars for this junk, and we don't need it. I mean, we're building weapons in outer space. We're building more nuclear bombs. We already have plenty to blow up the whole Earth's crust, and that's the direction they're going. I mean, that should be the very first thing cut, and it's obvious to me. I mean, Ron Paul's got the plan, and I think we do have the youth movement. There is one other hope, and that is if that – bill to audit the Fed could possibly get through this time. It might have enough support. So I think a lot of us need to be more focused on that and getting that done. Call up your Congress critters and get this audit of the Fed. There's really no argument against it. We're not doing anything to them. Just saying we would like you to open your books and show us how you've been wasting their money.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always thought for years and years, and I didn't invent this, this is the biggest story of all. This is the biggest scam in the history of mankind, right? The central banking system, especially the central banking system of the United States in the 20th and 21st centuries. It's absolutely astounding what they've gotten away with at the expense of everybody else. And you got to think, it's not just all the money wasted on building these ridiculous tanks that nobody's ever going to use. It's also the cost to the rest of society from all of our industry being geared toward those things instead of anything else. So we don't even know what kind of Jetsons future flying car beyond 2000 type thing we might be living in right now if we hadn't diverted all of this wealth toward these non-productive ends. It's the lost opportunity cost in trillions uncountable, you know?
Right.
It's a huge setback to our civilization. And, you know, it destroys our morality, too. You have good Bible-believing Christians who come to defend and, in fact, embrace and cheer for a torture state and put, you know, our team ahead of the most basic humanity and that kind of thing where before, even in the Clinton years or whatever, as horrible as those times were, Bill Clinton wasn't asking people, I need you now to rationalize torture in this society. You know what I mean? George Bush came to power and said, torture's okay, isn't it? And everybody said, yeah, I guess it is, leader, you know? And that didn't have to happen to us, you know what I mean? But it did. That's one of the costs, the psychic cost to the society, or the moral cost of who we are, what we believe in as a culture, you know?
And it doesn't give us any good information. You torture someone, they just tell you whatever they think you want to hear so you'll quit torturing them. Hasn't done anything. And Obama campaigned on closing Gitmo. And then, of course, he gives us NDAA and continued the CIA's rendition programs where we just ship someone off to a country where you're allowed to torture and do it over there legally. And, of course, the greatest crimes in history have all been legal. The government has raped, murdered, and stolen more from people than any criminals by a factor of tens of thousands. And yet the left is unable to see that. I have a lot of leftists that just think whatever Obama has done wrong is not his fault. It's the Republicans in Congress or some other rationalization. They can never say no. He's not like he's trying to stop these things and is unable to do it. He's not even attempting to stop these things because he agrees with it. I don't know how to get it through, though.
Yeah, or at best, he's such a weakling that he capitulates. You know, this is the story in Foreign Policy, was that he knew good and well that the war in Afghanistan could never succeed in its ostensible goal, which is installing the Northern Alliance as the government of the whole country, that that's just never going to take. But he went along with David Petraeus and all the political pressure from the military and the Republicans to do the surge into Afghanistan and one last shot to clear hold and build and all this. And that the president, he's no dummy. He knew that this was a bogus thing and that maybe it would even hurt him in the long run.
Right on. Well, we got another break and then we'll have a caller. George from Texas is calling back. George, I will get to you after this break. We'll be back with Scott Horton.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Leroy lives in a cardboard box down by the Mission Bell, where saints refuse to go and the sinners wish him well. Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often. Thought that he would be among the sick and poor. falling.
And we're back. This is the What Really Happened show. I'm talking with Scott Horton of the Scott Horton Show, anti-war radio host and activist and writer. He was in the foreword of the book Why Peace. Should have been in Why Peace. Missed the boat on that. He'll be in the next one. Scott, finish up.
Well, I was told the article had to be about myself, and I didn't know what to write about that. But only later, when I got the book, did I realize that actually I could have written whatever I wanted. And I know. So, boy, am I kicking myself, because that thing really is a masterpiece. It really is great.
It's great. I wrote a little piece in it. I'm glad I did write about myself. I wish I had known that too, but I mean, I'm proud of what I put, but I would have had something better had I known the parameters better, but I'm just pushing your button on purpose there. Finish up what you're saying about Obama's, being manipulated. And I got a caller, after that.
Well, you know, we were just talking about the frame of reference was the dynamic between the Republicans and the Democrats and who's better for peace, you know, based on the slightest of differences between them, at least just in their characters or whatever. Let's see, what was I saying?
Well, yeah, the best case scenario, like...
Oh, I know what it was. It was about how Obama knew better, just as well as anybody, that he could never succeed in Afghanistan. But he was abiding by the Bush timetable for losing the Iraq war and leaving there. And so he didn't want to end two wars at the same time because politically the Republicans would just eat his lunch, you know? So he would be a tough guy by laying on his belly prone and capitulating to David Petraeus and the Republicans and escalating the war and getting more Americans killed and more Afghans killed and more Pakistanis killed on what he knew all along was just a fool's errand. The article is at foreignpolicy.com. It's his own people telling the story that... He had no choice, except his obvious choice was to go ahead and say, you know what, if you don't like it, unelect me in 4 years, but I'm doing the right thing, if that's what he wanted to do was the right thing. But the fact is, even if you give him enough credit for being smart enough and good enough to know it was wrong, he then decided to do the wrong thing because it's what was good for himself.
Piece of chicken, either way you go, and that's giving him a lot of leniency. He seems like after allegedly catching bin Laden, he would have had enough clout to do what he needed. But caller George from Texas, you are on the air.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sleepy, actually. It's 5 a.m.
you know, the thing is, I know you were talking about Obamacare back on the top of the hour. You know, the thing is, I've been reading a bunch of states. Rick Perry just released that he's not going to implement Obamacare, and a bunch of state governors are saying they're not going to implement it. But here's the concern. Obama, I think, already knows how to arm twist. You know, every time the government shut down, you know, he'd always threaten grandma wouldn't get her Social Security check, I can't pay the troops, yada, yada, yada. I could see Obama sitting there go, okay, if you don't implement Obamacare, I'm going to cut off all the food stamps, all the welfare checks, Social Security check to grandma, whatever. Like, I really think he's going to... I think he's going to strike back.
Well, I'll answer that. Unfortunately, I got your call right before a commercial. I don't know why we have 3-minute segments, but I'll pick up with it after the break.